Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, and we begin with some Texans news. I see Aaron Wilson had it early, but the Texans made an announcement that wide receiver Justin Watson will be sidelined indefinitely with a calf Achilles injury that he sustained against the Buccaneers. Apparently, he did not tear it, but it's likely an IR designation that's going to pop up for him. Now, Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios, remember D'Amico said that he's expecting them back for this week. However, I mean, this does feel like, oh, well, I mean, that's one of the guys that they trusted to go and actually run routes out of the slot. Christian Kirk being back would be good. However, mm-hmm. Does this maybe finally portend to seeing some Jalen Noll on the field?
Oh, it has to, doesn't it? And by the way, the Texans have officially announced that he is going to be on the reserve injured list, Justin Watson.
Gotcha, thank you.
So they've announced that. They've also announced that they have signed Brendan Bates, which I know you have some information on. But with or without Justin Watson, you know, I've been feeling, we're going to talk about it, you know, that at least Jalen Noll, I mean, what else do you have to do, you know, to get on the field in more reps?
Right, but that does really stink, at least for some of the things that I was thinking about when it comes to this offense, which I'm already kind of getting tired of talking about, but as you're developing it, it's the whole, I thought the idea of Justin Watson is that's a guy who's a veteran who has a level of familiarity mm-hmm. with how this works and he can go out and do his job. I imagine that's why he got more burn. I don't know if anybody was particularly happy about it, but I imagine that was some of the thought process behind it. Christian Kirk returning should give you a little bit more of that. Braxton Berrios as well. But yeah, I mean, just a dude that you know is going to be in the right place mm-hmm. that has some value. And now it seems like you're going to lose him for an extended period of time. But maybe that forces the play callers and the people who have the power of their hands into actually utilizing probably their better players.
Or maybe 0-2 does it.
Maybe that.
There's a couple of them.
As you mentioned, tight end Brandon Bates is also being added to the Texans, or is being signed. I'm not seeing practice squad designation for him mm-hmm. here. Signed straight to the roster. I went to, you know, I'm very fond of Dane Brugler and his work at The Athletic doing draft stuff. 2024 was the draft class that Brandon Bates was in. He was undrafted free agent. However, out of Kentucky. However, he ends up now with your Texans. Basically, looking at him, he kind of really was a strong strong blocker rather, run blocking tight end for Kentucky when he was there. But I want to read you this line from Dane Brugler, who said, "Overall, Bates is a better pass catcher than his production would indicate, obviously from college. And he has the size and speed tools to develop into a complementary Y tight end," which is very much feels like what you need right now. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, again, he is a year out of, like, he had his rookie season, didn't make any catches in his rookie year. We're talking about 6'4", 250, thereabouts.
They list him at 255, Texans did.
There you go. So, like, he feels like he should be some level of analog for the physicality that you're losing a little bit from Cade Stover if he can get the system well and if he can get up there and block it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the guy was on two teams last year, was obviously available, doesn't have a catch, only got played, got into seven games. you know, this is truly the definition of kicking the tires and hoping for the best.
But they signed him straight to the roster.
Yes.
Like, I feel like you kick the tires putting somebody on the practice squad.
This feels signed
like
him straight to the roster.
A little bit more.
Is that good?
I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
7 games, 2 teams, no catches, and only played in, you know, it's.
How much burn you think you're going to get in this game coming up?
Boy, I don't know.
You got a lot of Harrison Bryant in this game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got a little bit of Jakob Johnson doing tight end things in this game as well. And remember, you've had 2 call-ups of Jakob Johnson thus far. That's interesting, actually. Jakob Johnson doesn't get put on the roster, but Brendan Bates does.
Yeah, and I honestly was amazed. I was looking at the PFF grades that Jakob Johnson actually had a decent one. I didn't think he played well. From what I saw, you know, he got – maybe it was just a couple plays, but I didn't think he played well. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But in addition to that, a couple of defensive backs added to the practice squad. Cornerback Ajani Carter. Ajani Carter, who played cornerback at University of Houston. He's a rookie. And then Jalen Mills returns. Obviously, that was a guy at safety that you saw come in during training camp. You were wondering if he'd be kind of a depth guy. He will return to the practice squad for this team. That's a veteran guy that maybe you can utilize as depth if you need it. All right, some other things around the NFL. Did you realize that head coaches get hurt too?
Oh, that was wild.
I was so fascinated by this. Apparently, Rams coach Sean McVay, he tore his plantar fascia when the team won in Nashville versus the Titans. He said his foot is good. He did tear his plantar fascia, so... well, that's a good thing because I guess it allows you to heal a little bit faster. But I was being dramatic, limping around toward the end of the game. But MRI confirmed that. I didn't realize that was something that that coaches really had to worry about. I didn't realize
they put them on the IR for that.
No, they're not going to do that.
I wonder if he ends up like, I don't remember who was the head coach. I think it was in Blacksburg for a Virginia Tech game. I don't remember if it was a Virginia Tech coach. Mm-hmm. They're coaching from the box.
Oh, there was a couple of those. I've seen a couple of those. There was. Boy, I can't remember either who it was, but yeah, there've been a couple. I mean, I guess it's not off the table that he could be in the coach's body. If it's swollen and he needs to be off his feet and all that
stuff. Or you pull a Deion Sanders and have a seat out there.
Yeah.
And Kane.
He'll look like Phil Jackson in that giant chair.
Oh, God.
Or you remember Ron Harper in the NCAA tournament for Georgia State when he had that little stool?
Didn't he have a scooter? Who was the coach that had a scooter? Remember that?
I think that might have been Ron Harper when he was on the side.
Yeah.
When he was on, he had like
scooting
a little
around that little thing on your knee.
He had a little throne, almost like a drummer's throne, and he fell off of it when there was a game winning shot.
Yeah, didn't Matt Patricia have something too?
Oh, he was driving around in a golf cart. I know during training camp. No, he was hurt. He broke his foot or something.
Was that before?
He was
or after?
In a boot. Yeah, he was in a boot.
Yeah, he was. That's when he was the coach for the Lions.
Was that before or after he promised to? Never mind. Don't worry about that. Want to remind you that. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year, which is about $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We talked a little bit about Tom Brady on the Monday night broadcast being in that booth for the Raiders, even though he is he's a part of the NFL on Fox team. He's a, analyst and he gets in those production meetings. Well, according to the NFL, Tom Brady did not violate any NFL rules by wearing a headset in the Raiders coaching booth during Monday night's game. The NFL said yesterday in a statement that Brady, who is obviously a minority owner with the Raiders, is prohibited from going to a team facility for practice or production meetings, but the former star is allowed to sit in the coach's booth.
Did you? Okay. Huh? What they're doing here is they're deflecting. This is classic. It has nothing to do with can an NFL owner or partial owner sit in the booth. Nothing to do with that. We know, what's her name with the Colts stands on the sideline.
Carly Ursay Gordon.
With
a crazy iced out Cuban Link thing.
I kind of.
I'm fine with
side
it.
Note, like,
hey, they 2-0.
I respect it. Yeah,
they 2-0.
Hey, would you rather her not be into the game?
Hey,
you know,
I'll roll with it.
I kind of like it, but so it. They're just talking about.
Wait,
look,
y'all are doing it. They're 2-0. So as soon as they start losing, she got to go.
Hey,
to the suite.
Hey, I'm good with something. They down there working their asses off.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't have anything to do with their record. I just think I respect the fact that she's like into it.
Yeah,
she's plugged in. But again, Reggie, this has nothing to do with can an owner do that? It's can an owner do that who also goes on Zoom meetings with opposing teams the week before they play him, which is going to happen this week.
Yeah, they were like, he was sitting in the booth in his capacity as a limited partner. Yeah, we know. Oh, yeah. The problem is that you have that crossover. It seems like the NFL, and it's somewhat to be expected that they're like that the league office is just going to be like, oh, nothing to see here. Mm-hmm. I do wonder, because again, we can make noise all we want. That's really not going to make a big deal. I do wonder if other team owners in the league make a fuss, because those are the people that will ultimately get something done and make something shake. But this is a clear conflict of interest with all this. But I also, something within me goes, let them. I kind of want to see the
really?
Raiders. I kind of want to see the Raiders be good, man.
I'm not down with you on that one.
I mean, if I'm the other team, I'm not telling y'all nothing.
Exactly.
I'm lying to y'all. I'm like, we going to run the T-bone this week.
The T-bone.
I'm lying my ass off, man. I'm not telling y'all nothing.
Mm-hmm. So he's calling Cowboys at Bears this weekend.
Correct.
Next weekend, the Raiders face the Bears.
Sounds like the Raiders.
If I'm Ben Johnson, everything cool. we're going to run the offense. I'm not telling y'all nothing.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Raiders might need to get in here, or you might need to go and get on your favorite app, see what the Raiders talking about. See if you might be able to make a little money. I don't know.
It just feels and sounds and looks dirty.
Although the way that Geno and Ashton Jeanty looks, maybe you don't need to worry about Tom Brady involved with any of this. Maybe none of that matters at all. Whatsoever. All right, some other things around the NFL. We didn't talk about this, but I meant to. There was a lot of video circling about the Philadelphia Eagles and their tush push. Obviously, we've had much conversation about this, but they faced off against the Chiefs in one particular play. Mm-hmm. In this, you get that shot down the line of scrimmage, and you can see both guards firing off well before that snap is actually taken. There's no penalty call, no flag thrown or anything. And you can maybe believe that that's one instance, but I think a lot of people are pointing to this is part of why they are so effective.
Yeah.
Clearly, they have the strength and the great offensive line, but they are capable of getting off early as they do consistently, and that is an undue advantage. Well, Jordan Mailata, the left tackle of the Eagles, he said he's had enough. He was on, I believe, their flagship, our sister station, WIP, up there in Philadelphia, and he said that is incredibly disrespectful to impact the Eagles' defense and special teams rather than giving them credit. He said, quote, "I understand the outrage. What I don't understand is them using it as an excuse as to why we won the game. I think it's incredibly disrespectful to say our defense and special teams who balled out and my brothers on defense and special teams who balled out that game, who had our backs when we weren't moving the ball or weren't doing anything." Close quote.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I would necessarily go that far, but I do agree with him from this perspective. That's a well coached team.
To jump outside. Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
That's a well coached team. They got away with it. The referees, there are two referees standing on the line of scrimmage. It is such a well practiced, well coached play. That they can do it. If they want to call it, call it. If they think they have the video evidence to back up that call, then do it. I just think they got away with a well-constructed, well-timed play.
Look, I hear what you're saying there, but this is a consistent. Like, we're seeing this right now, and I think it's an indication of what has been there. They've constantly been taking advantage
of this. It's been there, yeah.
And I think that this is where it gets frustrating is, all right, within the rules, like, hey, you got to just go beat it. But if I got to go beat it and you have, like, a leg up in getting off the ball, how am I supposed to, right? And I understand this. I wish that there would have been more of a conversation about this when the possibility of banning the tush push comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe you don't straight up ban it because of this, but at least if you apply pressure, you have to get to the officials and go, are you going to call this fairly?
Well, my thing is more like if they did this against the Texans, I'd be upset. I'd say, hey, man, they're moving early, just like a lot of people are doing. What I'm saying, though, has nothing to do with, you're right. This is something where they have an advantage and they've used that advantage to maybe and probably, gain some touchdowns and first downs. What I'm saying, though, is call it or be better you know, at defending it, because they're still getting it done, you know, as they can. They're getting away with it here.
Yeah, to me, yeah. I feel like this is similar to an offensive lineman who moves early. Yeah. And
they never call it. It's a good point.
Yeah, just
yeah.
Landon Dickerson.
I was going to use the old neighborhood play at second base when you're turning a double play. Do they really touch the base all the time? Probably not, but they get away with it. Because it's so close to call, and it's hard, you know, it's hard to really litigate. That's what I'm saying.
Will it make it better if they start calling
sure.
it? They looking in the pile sure. and start calling it? Sure, but yeah. I just think, I don't know, I think people just really upset over the, they can't stop this.
I thought Figgy's example is the best one, because I was going to go the whole neighborhood. Like, yes, you can call it.
Yeah.
Stop it or call it.
What's the difference what's the difference between just a regular missed call?
Yeah.
Well, because it happens consistently on this play, that is, it's not like, all right, well, it happens sometimes, but it's going to even out overall. It doesn't even out. It leans so heavily to the Eagles, and I understand, well, they're just doing this better. But then this is where you can't be fighting against, and this is kind of a popular parlance mm-hmm. in sports, can't be fighting against them and the rest. And it feels like if you're not going to call that and force the Eagles to be on the right side of the mm-hmm. line here, you are really just putting your thumb on the scale against all these other teams that are trying to stop.
Well, again,
I mean, if the refs start calling, will it stop the tush push? Would that change everything?
No, but I think it makes it a more fair playing field, and then we can absolutely exist off of, again, remember, I'm on the place where I'm good with, like, hey, keep the tush push, but it needs to be in a fair place. Mm-hmm. Like, it does, like, the whole idea is we're trying to facilitate this game for fairness. And it's already, people are already wondering, is this a play that is worth keeping in?
Yeah.
It doesn't help at least the optics, but I think also just like the general, I don't mm-hmm. know, foundation of the play, if you're also getting out early every single time you do.
I understand the point.
No, I get it. Yeah. But you could also make that argument for somebody like a Myles Garrett who crossed the line a little early.
Mm-hmm. Or the left tackle that pops that left leg out. You know, just wait. He looked like he was off. You know, he was a procedure call.
Some of them be jumping a little early, mm-hmm. and you know, I think if they call it, then I totally get it. But mm-hmm. I don't know, ain't nothing you can really do about this.
And when you say if they call it, that's what I'm talking about. They need to call it. Like this, mm-hmm. this is what it needs to come down to.
I mean, a ref should call everything.
The refs need to call.
They shouldn't miss anything.
Hey guys, there's holding on every play, man.
No, but the thing that, and we had the benefit at training camp mm-hmm. to talk to Sean Hockley, right? Because the NFL makes sure to send out officials to talk to the media and obviously teams before the season. And one of the things that they talked about is, like, when it comes to some of those things, the idea of there's holding on every play, they're not going to call a holding if it doesn't affect the play. In a similar way, I think that you probably would get the idea of we're going to call it when it matters the most mm-hmm. in some of these, because to be fair, it's going to be impossible for them to be perfect. These are calls that affect the play, right? Like, this affects this very pivotal play when you get up in a 1 yard situation and they're able to get off early. That is a large effect. Like, we're not just talking about moving a little bit early. We're talking about, like, you are getting leverage in a situation that is entirely about leverage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it becomes important in my perspective. And somebody said, don't punish the Eagles unless you're going to start punishing Mahomes and the Chiefs. I think that when you start looking at the numbers on what the Eagles have when it comes to some of these things, you'll change your tune just a little bit. But, again, I think I do fall back to what you're talking about. They're getting away with it, so like that for them on their side, they got to keep doing it. I think this falls on the NFL.
Stop it, whether you're the opposing team or the NFL.
Yeah, or if you're a referee, if you see something that's fishy or somebody move early, mm-hmm. throw the flag.
I need to see it. I need to see you throw the flag. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's around the NFL. Coming up next, we were just talking about Justin Watson going to the IR. Do the Texans have to trust their young guys this week, right? Or would making significant changes offensively be too much too soon for this team? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, the Figgy Fig, and you, 713-572-4610. All right, man, this personnel thing for the Texans is, I think, a portion of what we were looking at after a 20-19 loss versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because it felt like there was not enough separation, at least offensively, for this team. And you had one of the guys, probably the singular guy that I look at, from training camp that felt like he separated so well in Jalen Nolan when he wasn't used.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of the young guys that it feels like they're not utilizing as much as they could. They have to get to that place where they trust these young guys here pretty soon, right?
Well, yes. If you're asking me, absolutely yes. But here's where it gets interesting. And you guys heard me, you know, piling on, whatever you want to call it, fair criticism is what I think it was of Nick Caserio yesterday and just the way they do things, et cetera. And part of that is they really stick with the old, trusted, familiar faces on the offensive line, et cetera. They've done that at the wide receiver position too. To a certain degree, they've done that at the running back position. We didn't talk a whole lot about Dare Ogunbowale yesterday, but Dare Ogunbowale was a big problem.
He was very bad. In this game,
very
from,
bad. He had,
from an
what did he have?
Standpoint,
7%.
No, it was
1.4
Pro Football Focus grade. And I mean, if you want to go by that grade, you clearly can. I mean, I don't know how much better it would have to be for you to be like, oh, well, maybe 1.4 out of 100 is not what you want. But on top of that, like you saw that he had 7 offensive snaps, 3 pressures allowed.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not good enough by any stretch of the imagination. And what's wild is that the direct juxtaposition that you see in that game
mm-hmm.
is you have Woody Marks
flipping dudes,
laying out,
flipping them,
going horizontal, looking like Superman, yeah. close to the field to lay it, you know, to get some pass pro pick blitz pickup. And you also have an incredible huge play that he makes out of the backfield, one of the best ones early in the first quarter, and you don't see that again. Like, it just, the case has been made in every which way, whether it's just, you know, training camp, whether it's like just feelings, mm-hmm. vibes, the juice that it seems. And then now on the NFL regular season field, this is a guy that you need to have on the field rather than Dare.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I think it ties in with just their general philosophy. As I talked about yesterday with Nick Caserio, he's a guy, Ogunbowale, that they just absolutely trust, they absolutely love. He's their swarmy kind of guy, you know, the culture kind of guy. But he hadn't been good enough, all right? Then you go to Justin Watson, who now is going to be out, but – That's a guy that fits the profile.
And if you didn't hear, Justin Watson apparently dealing with like an kind mm-hmm. of Achilles type injury, not a tear, but something right. that's going to keep him out indefinitely. He's going on to the IR per the Texans, so that's a guy that's going to be out of pocket for a little while.
And that's not even to mention the offensive line. But I do want to get to the offensive line. But let's just talk about wide receiver.
Interesting.
And I do. And running back, because you know these are their kinds of guys. Their kinds of guys did not get and are not getting the job done through 2 weeks, right? So is it time to trust the young guys? Are they willing to trust the young guys? And I'm talking about, you know, obviously the Jalen Knowles, but Jaden Higgins, you know, what about Woody Marks, you know, for Ogunbowale? I think it's more than fair to make these changes now. I really do. I don't know if they will.
I think they're... The tough part about it is that you're getting Christian Harris back, and I think that they will lean on him somewhat. I think that there's value in that. For one, I've talked about how, and we've talked about rather, this offense is one that's going to require, it's going to have a little bit of a learning curve to it, and it's going to require some settling in.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like Christian Kirk was the dude who at least
yeah.
mentally would have significantly more of a jump on these type of things, understanding the, you know, the play intent and all those things, and getting him yeah. back is going to matter. But also, I think there was a really good point made on social media by Texans commenter, shout out to Garrett, who made the point that all the guys that they had utilized in weeks one and two, which some of this is their fault, some of this is injury, they're all the same kind of type of wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Big body guys with Nico Collins, Xavier Hutchinson, Justin Watson, Jaden Higgins even to some extent. Like, they're all kind of the same type of guy. You get no variety from the type of player, even though obviously they're going to be doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that getting Christian Kirk back will give you a little bit of a different type of guy. I still wonder, though, with him not having practiced much before, and obviously he's going to hopefully practice this week, I think that it makes me look up and go, this is even more reason Jalen Noel is in form. He's fit.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's a guy that can give you some of that different type of player, but then get open. It just feels like they're not doing the things that would help them, widen the margins for themselves.
No, I think you're 100% right in everything you said right there. The question becomes not just, are they willing to do it? Might you agree? Is it too soon to necessarily do something like that? Are you sort of, ditching your plans and maybe being in a little bit of desperation mode if you do that? For me personally, this may not be desperation mode, but you can see it from here. I mean, you're 0-2, you're 0-2 and you go 0-3. I don't even know what those fancy numbers are that, everybody says that, 0-3 teams percentage of playoffs. And I don't even know what those are, but I know they ain't great. And I know in the division, if you lose to Jacksonville with Colts 2-0, it gets a little dicier too. So you may not be desperate, but you're in a place where you need to start considering these.
Well, things. I think you are desperate because this offense needs to work a lot better, and you need to give yourself opportunities to raise the ceiling of what it looks like. Right now, the ceiling looks pretty damn low.
Mm-hmm.
You acquired these guys for a reason. You acquired the talent of these guys to help push you forward. Now, of course, you also acquire Christian Kirk, so that'll help. But if these guys are showing themselves to be ready, and if you want to take D'Amico Ryans at his word when he says that these guys have their trust, they just have to keep doing it. The only place for them to keep doing this is either in practice, which obviously we are not privy to, is on the field. And when it comes to those guys on the field, they look pretty solid, particularly Noel. But I think also you could probably say Higgins has done pretty much what you could ask of him.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I look at is maybe there's some times where you go, is he in the right place at the right times? Is he running this, the plays that are designed for him as perfectly intended? But all of that feels like things that you need to push towards. Also, maybe the easiest thing for me is if you are looking to grow this team, the guys with upside are those young guys.
Yeah.
So, as you're still doing the learning curve and all of that, you also need to get these young guys involved so that when you need to trust on them in week 8, in week 10, they have those reps under their belts.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you both this. This is a merit system. The NFL, supposedly, by definition of a lot of coaches, is a merit system. You compete. How many times did we say, hear D'Amico Ryans and others talk about competing, and that's the way you get on the field?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why aren't we having a similar discussion on the offensive line? Why not? They right now.
Who's the competition that we're talking about here?
Well, I'm saying, is Juice Scruggs that bad? Is he that bad? Because let's look at some of the things. We're talking about they're not performing. Maybe you need to get a Gumba Wally out and Woody Marks in. That's performance-based. That is merit-based. The offensive line, when it comes to performance, is vastly subpar from what we expected right now. They are not performing. They are not performing at a high level. In fact, right now, they have the sixth most pre-snap penalties in the NFL. That is awful. And that is focus. That is discipline and all that stuff. This offensive line, they were horrible on third down. They're not running the ball.
No, they weren't getting pushed.
They weren't getting any push. They were getting pushed back.
Right.
Why aren't we talking about the offensive line moving people around? They did during the preseason.
They did, but that was obviously to try and figure some things out. And I think that we weren't necessarily all that happy about all the moving around. The cheeky response is also we want to do more online shuffle, huh? But I think the real response is, I mean, the talent level, what we're seeing is like the talent level isn't there, right? This doesn't feel like as much of, at least in week two. You tell me if you saw this differently.
Mm-hmm.
Week two didn't feel like, oh man, dudes are not in the right place. Week two felt like dudes not able to like muscle up.
No, 100%.
And especially if we talk about week two where you have your guards are Laken Tomlinson and Titus Howard. Or sorry, not Titus Howard, rather, Ed Ingram, right? You look at the size of those guys. Drew Scruggs being a smaller guy in there, does that feel like that answers that particular problem of getting push-up?
But that I feel like that kind of answers John's question a little bit, because is Juice that bad to the point where you got Ed Ingram and Tomlinson out there? Are they playing that well enough where you can't even go to Juice at all?
That's
you can't
point.
Even like, bring up the conversation?
He is a non-starter, literally. And, you know, literally a non-starter when it comes to getting into the lineup. Cam Robinson, you know, I'm not his biggest fan, but Blake Fisher. Are they that bad that you can't even, when you're getting your ass kicked, you can't even, you know, run it out there for practice and see what happens?
Can I ask you your question right back to you? Mm-hmm. Do you want to see Blake Fisher out there?
No, Blake Fisher qualified that one.
Do you really want to see Cam Robinson out there again?
Because
it feels like you wanted Arian Taylor.
He was a starter.
So we want to shuffle this thing back around. Cam Robinson at left.
Look, I'm not a fan of shuffling around.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying, the question was very clear to start. Do you need significant changes?
Well, you do.
The answer is yes, you do.
But the conversation, and I think this is how we came out the gate coming out of that game, is this was a problem that you set up for yourself in the offseason, and this is a problem that can really only be answered in the offseason.
But that's water under the bridge. Sorry for the cliche.
No, I understand.
What we have is these dudes. So you're saying it's these five guys, hell or high water, because the other three or four guys behind them suck that bad?
I mean, they lost the battles that we've talked about, like the training camp.
It's worse than I thought.
Training camp. Well, damn it, that's what we were talking about, this, right? Like that was why we were so upset. Of hey, Kevin Zeitler's right there. Why are you not picking him up? Mm-hmm. Because this was a possibility, right? The whole idea was you get five fingers in a glove, and hopefully they can pull in the same direction. If this is what they are saying, they felt like their best five was, you keep them together and hope that you can get them to play better with mm-hmm. technique. But as of right now, and honestly, as of weeks ago, we kind of felt like the ceiling on what the talent was on this offensive line wouldn't be enough. And early on, that's seeming to prove to be the case. This is why we are mad to some degree at the general manager and at the decision makers, because you did not give yourself much leeway. Everybody has to be revving at 100% mm-hmm. for you to give yourself a chance. And when they are not, you start asking yourself questions like, well, can we put Cam Robinson in? Can we put Blake Fisher in? And that's honestly not a place that I wanted to be anyway.
Yeah, I think it just hits a little different when you're looking at the other positions like running back. If Dari ain't doing right, you say, oh, Woody Marks right there. Let's bump him up the list a little bit. Or even receiver. You got some rookie receivers. Hey, let's move Jalen Noel up the list. It seemed like it's not a conversation with the offensive line. And they're just as bad too. And it's no question that, hey, let's see what Juice can do.
Well, then,
screw it, because we're this bad. Let's see if somebody else could come in and play. And it, I don't know, it just hits a little different.
Well, then let's put it where it is and where it belongs. That is, you're wasting three roster spots. If you can't even, in desperate times, put a dude out there, he's just basically holding a clipboard like a third-team quarterback.
Yeah,
you're wasting the spot.
I will say, to the kind of defend it a little bit, will say it's early. Maybe they feel like they could be getting somewhere, and it just got to gel a little more.
Well, no, yeah. Maybe there is something to be said for you to allow these guys to work together a little bit longer. Yeah. I think that, but I hear what you're saying, right? I think that you go to a depth player though once you know that the starters are not being able to do this. And the question I have for you is, do you feel like you saw those starting five, and you were like, oh no, this absolutely does not work with these five?
I don't see how you could come to any other conclusion.
Well, then you're going to be playing musical chairs all season long.
Where are they ranked in rushing and third down conversions and penalty? Penalties is a big one too. You know, sixth in the league in most pre-snap penalties. That's a good way to get benched.
Yeah, but it also shows you they didn't really address the offensive line throughout the season.
Oh, sure.
I guess maybe those are the best five.
Mm-hmm. And from the 713, bro, you played two playoff teams and you could have won both and you're trashing the Texans. This is the thing. You can't go results-oriented. You gave up a 40% pressure rate for your quarterback.
Yeah, well, I didn't even mention that. I didn't even mention that 40% pressure rate.
But you were.
Is that trashing them? That's telling you what they did.
But my thing is, you were a playoff team too. It wasn't like you was 4 and whatever last season. You was a playoff team. Hell, you beat the Bucks a couple years ago in a great game.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a salute, but I don't want to hear that.
We're not
that
trashing
part.
Anybody. I mean, that's a fair question.
Yeah, and
40% pressure rate, all the penalties, no run game. That's trashing them? No, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't get real push on the line, and so ultimately, some of this is, and I understand the question that you continue to bring. Mm-hmm. The resignation I have is one that this organization has set up for me, which is the only real path to getting better is just letting these guys congeal and gel together and hope that raises the ceiling on what their play is. Because moving them around consistently is actually not going to help this.
That's what I think they're doing. I think they're probably trying to give us some time. But if it's week 5, week 6, mm-hmm. and it's getting worse, I think you will probably see a Juice Scruggs or maybe they throw in Blake Fisher somewhere or something mm-hmm. like that.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Let's talk about the injury that was for the Astros, or at least the information that we got on the injury. We'll do that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Astros have an opportunity to do something really good, which is sweep the Rangers. Always want to do that, and that'll happen tonight as they face off against the Rangers. Game 3 of this series is Christian Javier on the bump, and I'm very excited to be out there in the building, but I'm not going to lie. A little cautious about that optimism because, I mean, I mentioned that Christian Javier is going. Jacob DeGrom's on the other side of that. He's been pitching really well.
He really has. Then again, last night's pitcher was pitching really well, too, coming into the game. Merrill?
Yeah, Merrill Kelly. What is your confidence level? I know I ask you this from time to time. When it comes to Christian Javier, because it's been a little bit – not a little. It's been a lot of up and down since he's returned from injury, and we're still looking for those guys that you can trust when it comes to this rotation. Obviously, Jason Alexander has handled his own very well. Fromber's given you some up and down. Where are you and Christian Javier going into this
one? No, Javier is a very he's a tough one. I really still don't know what to expect from him. I know they're going to have to rely on him in situations like this. If or when they get into the postseason, it's going to be one of the most interesting calls to see how they line this thing up. Obviously, Jason Alexander is a big part of it. I mean, are you gonna get into a postseason and have like an opener? You know, not in the first series, obviously in the wild card, but or whatever it may be, the wild card round. But I mean, is that? I have no idea what to expect from the pitching staff moving forward.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, at least Javier gave you 6 the last time out, but it's gonna need to be good. Now, thankfully, the Rangers' offense has been kind of so-so, and mm-hmm. that might be being really kind to them of late, so maybe this can be a lighter landing for him in some ways to help him get to throwing pitching pretty well. But you definitely need some run support, like you got last night. Thankfully, a 6-5 ultimate victory for the Astros. A really good outing by AJ Blueball, who's continued to come up big for you when you need him to. And then Colton Gordon piggybacks on the back of that. The pen was an interesting proposition because once Eniel De Los Santos came in, he was the one who gave things up. But Brian Abreu with the four out save at the end of this. I didn't get your general feel for this game. Because mm-hmm. we talked about kind of how you're feeling about the Astros in general. What was your feel for this game in particular?
This game in particular, I thought Bruce Bochy really made some interesting calls, starting with the starting pitcher to leave him in the way he did. I also felt Jesus Sanchez made a very big play that ultimately was one of the difference makers. And then my big takeaway is – that as much as we talked about, you know, Joe Espada and how did he put it? Like, did didn't you hear what I just said or something like that? That's very un-Joe Espada-like. And I'm wondering, as steady a hand as this organization has put forward, especially with Joe Espada, you know, we talked after the Fromber stuff and then some of these injuries, you know, how much is it going to affect, you know, what's going on in the clubhouse? I kind of wondered, are they feeling it a little bit? Is this a very un-Astros thing to feel, because they've been so confident and they've been able to always withstand and overcome? Are there starting to be some, not cracks, but maybe some tension, you know, inside that clubhouse, starting with the manager?
I don't think so.
He normally wouldn't have done that.
No, I know, but yeah. That might be more him with us than him with that team. Mm-hmm. Like, there's obviously frustrations of having to deal with things.
Yeah.
We know that Yordan Alvarez is not going to go on IL, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But one more IL stint for these Astros would set a standalone MLB record for most IL stints in a single season. They're currently tied with the 19 Yankees at 29 IL stints. Like, he's had to – that's just one of the kind of difficulties that of the terrain that he's had to traverse.
Yeah.
And he's been questioned all the way across that. And so I feel like you get to the tough part, you're continuing to strain, and it feels like people are pushing up against you in your decision-making. I get how he does that. I have a feeling that this organization, the team itself, is still pulling in one direction, with one potential outlier, which obviously is Framber Valdez, just based off of kind of the – for lack of a better term, like outbursts or what mm-hmm. the things that we've seen that have looked a little dicey.
And I wouldn't blame him. I mean, I know I'd be like, oh my gosh, what's going on?
Espada
for, you know, showing a little bit more nervousness, tension, whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't blame him at all. Good news, Isak Paredes is maybe going to be back this weekend. And the update on Hader is still maybe for the postseason.
Yeah, I think he said possibly for the second round or in later. I think I feel good about that, mm-hmm. right? Like the idea of if he's there
Bless
for the second
heart.
Round. Yeah, man. Yeah. There's a lot of mental gymnastics I'm doing to try and give myself a little bit of confidence when it comes to just feeling better about the Astros. But they're currently a half game back of the Mariners. If they do get Isak Paredes back for the Mariners series, that is a dude that you trust to be in that, you know, in that dominant spot in the middle of your mm-hmm. lineup and give you a guy to work around as well, especially when you have Carlos Correa going pretty well, Jose Altuve at least adding in of late. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the number of guys that you have that are playing pretty well, Jeremy Peña, obviously. If you have a Paredes, it feels like you fill that hole mm-hmm. with guys that are maybe hitting decently. You give yourself an opportunity to really be aggressive and possibly take back the lead and really build a little bit of a lead through a three-game set.
And you
set.
Figure it out with Paredes. You put him in the lineup, in the roster, in the batting lineup every day.
Yeah, second round, ha-ha-ha.
Figure
ha,
it
ha.
Out.
I see you, Rocky. Second round, ha-ha-ha. Like, but if you do have him, that's when you need him most mm-hmm. anyways, right? If you can manage to get yourself to that place where he's coming back, when you can go Abreu into Hader in those big games, mm-hmm. if you are deeper into the playoffs, that gives you a shot. But, of course, you got to do the other things that get you there, and that is finishing out this week properly. You mentioned this game last night. I did want to give a little shout-out to, was it Cameron Wright that had a nice trap?
Yes.
I thought that he was going to really, you know, have that hop over him as he's charging the ball in right. And it does feel like he has progressed quite a bit defensively. Like I remember on the broadcast yesterday, there was when he came up to play, it was like he used to be the shiny new toy. Mm-hmm. And it kind of made me take a step back and look at him. And I'm still, how are you with the Cam Smith rookie season? Because it was started off fantastic and you needed it. Got a little lackluster at some point in the middle. Where are you at this point with the Cam Smith
season? I think it fits the profile. Nobody is bailing. Nobody is mad. I think it just fits the profile of what a very young player that didn't have a lot of major, didn't play a lot of games, didn't have any major league experience, how it's going to go, how the arc goes. You know, and I don't know if I necessarily have a lot of confidence in him, but I haven't lost confidence in terms of like big picture.
All right, one more thing here in What's Poppin', and it's entirely diametric to what we've been talking about here. Actually, no. I should have talked about Yordan. Yordan, mm-hmm. he's not going on the IL, it doesn't seem like. But he's been discussed as having a significant injury with that ankle. Does that feel like the right decision to you? Because you're playing a man down with your roster at
right.
this point.
Yeah, you cannot play a man down when every game is – and Espada said this. He's treating every game like a playoff game. That's another takeaway from last night. I mean, he burned that bullpen. I mean, it is – today it's going to be like, all right – who feels okay, you know, because he, you know, but he is doing it the right way in terms of treating every game like a playoff game. Well, you can't have a roster that is a man down. I feel as if we might hear something today before the game or maybe, you know, maybe tomorrow on the off day simply because they know this. They're not going to go into that Mariners series a man down. I think they're just trying to really get a good feel for what exactly is going on with that ankle.
Maybe so. They're holding out hope. The only thing was, I was like, am I doing too much with if they're not willing to put him on the IL? And then Joe Espada, in responding to, you know, the media questions, was basically like, you heard, I'm not going to give you all the information.
One day at a time.
I was like, is it possible that there is a little more hope, but he's trying to manage media better than they have in the past, where they say, well, we're hoping he comes back, and then they don't, and then they look stupid.
Yeah, but he did say it's worse, you know, it's bad. Yeah.
To me, it seemed like he was a little frustrated for the simple fact that I guess they're not putting him on the IR, and that's kind of giving a little hope. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, maybe it's not that bad. And he's like, look, it is bad.
Yeah.
So I think he probably a little frustrated with that on top of playing the man short.
Yeah.
Feels like in the pen, Brian King, who didn't pitch yesterday.
Oh, do you have the numbers? Who's available?
Well, I'm just looking at it. In the last 3 days, I mean, Brian Abreu threw 32 last night after throwing 12 the night before. It feels like he's out of pocket. I don't even know how much you would like to put De Los Santos out there, because he's had 42 in the last 3 days. Craig Kimbrell had 25 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder if, you know, that's a guy that you can turn to. I'm not going to say the name that I'm looking at right here. Brian King is looking. I mean, he's only had 19 in the last couple of days, so you wonder if maybe he is up for it. And then Okert, he's had 32 in the last 3 days, but he didn't pitch last night, so I do wonder if he's available for you as a lot, if you need to. Yeah, no, there's a lot of guys who have thrown a decent amount of pitches over the last few days. I'm just looking at it visually, and I guess I'll turn it towards you. You can see kind of a lot of these guys that have had opportunities to be up and trying to throw for you in those later innings. So you're just going to kind of have to cobble it together as Joe Espada has. And I imagine this is where you lean even more on offense. Give me some leeway so we can stretch some things out
please.
And get out with a series sweep. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Fair point from the 281. Expanded rosters in September makes it a little bit easier to play a man down. But still, I think that everybody has an expanded roster, and you want to make sure that you give yourself the best opportunity. We just went through where your bullpen is as well. All right, coming up next, let's talk more about this offense, because some national media members talking about the Texans were asking for easy buttons. How does this offense make it easy for CJ Stroud? I kind of want to talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.